Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 5, that the bride of Christ, that Jesus washes the church with the water of his word. That the water washes over you. You know, a stone sitting in a river, it can be a riverbed. It can be all jagged and everything when it first gets there. But when that water keeps washing over you for years and years and years and years, that stone becomes very smooth. It water. You say, water, we drink water. Yeah, but it can change the contour of a hard and jagged life. And when he keeps speaking his word to you, keeps coming to you, it's changing you. It's literally changing you. So let's pray, and we'll jump into the balance of, which is a few verses of Genesis 29. Father, we thank you for your word now. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, your holy presence, that who lives within us and fills us, and satisfies us. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the church. Thank you for perfecting us, maturing us, completing us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would so come through the power of your Spirit to bring life and health and healing, resurrection, peace and grace and strength to your house. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. So, I said last week that through the life of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we see Jacob's son, so forth, that God was at work. We see in the Old Testament, when you read Genesis, come on, when you get to Abraham, God spells it out very clearly. He's trying, he's wanting to do what he promised to Adam. Well, actually, it was in his curse to the serpent. God said this in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman. The woman whom you deceived, that woman that you caused to fall, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. That woman who you conquered, I'm going to cause a conqueror to come out of her and conquer you. That's what God does. He takes your conqueror, right? And he causes the one who's conquered, he then causes a conqueror to come out of the conquered. That's God. And that's what he promised in Genesis 3:15, where he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So God set about then to, he spoke that word, they got cursed to the serpent. And he set in motion, everything was already set in motion for that word then to begin to be fulfilled. And it came more pointedly through the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we're going to continue. This whole theme runs all the way throughout the scripture, all the way through the book of Revelation. So now... But what's interesting about this as I'm studying this, and I've said this before, but I want to say it again. The people that God chose to use, the women in particular, all had something in common. Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel. They all had something in common. What was that commonality? They were all barren. All of them. Barren. They could not produce. They couldn't produce. And yet, God chose them to move through. We'll see the importance of this. We continue to see it as we study this in through the book of Genesis. And so I said last week that Jacob wanted Rachel. And we remember that. He chose Rachel. But the Lord made sure he received Leah. This is a comical, I don't know, I'm sorry. This is comical to me. Because you mean, as I'm living my life, I make choices? Yes, but we don't always make the right choices. Hello. And so Jacob is in love with Rachel. By the way, I read a commentary that said, and this is hard for me to get my mind around. One commentary said that Jacob, when he married Leah, was 84 years old. I thought, whoa, wow, okay. But then another commentary put his age at 57 to 64. So that kind of changes the picture in your mind. But yet, nonetheless, Jacob wanted Rachel, but the Lord made sure he received Leah, for it was through Leah that Christ would come. It was through Leah that Christ would come. Jacob was not denied the wife he wanted. He got to marry Rachel. But God sure did work around that wife to the one that God wanted him to have. And sometimes we think we know what's best for our lives. Hello. And so Genesis 29 and 30 says, then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. And just to let you know, commentators say that after he, remember when he said, what is this? He woke up, it was Leah. What is this? Why have you deceived me? And Laban said, fulfill her week, and I'll give you Rachel. In other words, the wedding feast was a week long. We did a day yesterday, but they did a week, okay? And so Laban said, if you fulfill Leah's week, then next week I'll give you Rachel if you work for me another 7 years. So just to shed some light on the fact that he didn't have to wait 7 years for Rachel. I thought he had to wait, because I'd have been out of my mind if I had to wait 7 years for the one. So 14 years for the one I chose, me and Laban would be coming to fisticuffs. Yeah, Unc, we going to get down. Come on, Unc. And so he got to marry the one that he wanted. Now, verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, listen, not only does the Lord see when you and I are unloved, he does something about it. God. Now, that's shouting and running territory right there, beloved. Because if you are not unloved, I mean, if you are unloved, many times you think you have to do something about it. Woo! But I got news for you. Huh? What did Leah do? What could Leah do? Nothing. She couldn't do anything. But then she didn't have to. Why? Because God saw the fact that she... Now, when it says unloved or hated, your version may say hated, what it simply means is that Jacob loved Rachel more. But every wife deserves the love of her husband. And so Leah was not getting that, and the Lord saw it. The Lord saw it. And the Lord's remedy is interesting and, well, very, very proper for that time. The scripture says he opened her womb. Now, why is that so important? Because a closed womb in that day was a sign of God's displeasure. An open womb was a sign of God's hand on your life. Now, remember, so when we read it, it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, apparently her womb was closed too, because it said he opened it. He wouldn't have had to open it if it wasn't closed. So perhaps Leah was barren as well, right? So it says that he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, so the Lord uses the occasion of her not being loved to bring about his purpose through her. And this is what I find so absolutely amazing about God. I cannot get my mind around it, that he in all of our lives, as intertwined as our lives are, he uses the circumstances that we're in to bring his purpose to pass. This is why we don't always have to be so despondent and out of our mind that this is what's going on. This is what is happening to me. As if there's no hope, because God knows, he sees. And when we cry out, he hears. Right? Now, as I said, Leah's womb was closed until the Lord opened it. We see this again with Sarah. We saw it with Rebecca. We see it with Leah now and Rachel. Why? Why? When I read that, the first scripture came into my mind was John 15:5, where the Lord says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. No thing. Leah, without me, nothing. Sarah, why is that so important? Because you have to remember that God is bringing Jesus into the earth. He's bringing Jesus, right? And so he chooses Sarah, a barren woman. Well, if we're bringing a child into the earth, why would we choose a barren woman? So that God could show that flesh is not going to be involved with this. You will have nothing to do with this. I'm going to do this. Because when I do it, everybody's going to know it was a miracle. Sarah was 90 years old getting pregnant. Rebecca was barren for 20 years. How you going to go have a child after you've been barren for 20 years? She doesn't just have a child. She has twins. And then Leah is barren. God set it up. He used that way. Now, what does that say to you and I? What I was saying earlier. When God gets ready to use anybody, guess which ones he chooses? The barren ones. And that dude can't even walk. He tripped over his feet. Dear heavens. Ernest Angely. People look at him and say, the man can't even talk. He's wearing a headpiece. And yet he would say, take everything you need, and people would get healed, fall over, all kinds of things would happen. And you said, because we pay so much attention to the messenger, we forget who's supplying the message, who's bringing the miracle, right? So when you look through the scriptures and you see this, there's a reason. What God is doing is not of man, though he used man and worked through man. Man would get no credit for bringing this about. The bringing about of the Messiah would work by grace and not by works. And so God chose those who couldn't work. They couldn't get anything done. They couldn't get anything done. And so, as I said earlier, that scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 12, when Peter, the people came running together after Peter and them had made the man at the beautiful gate whole. Peter said, why do you marvel at this? And why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. Peter took no credit, but pointed the people to God. Why? Because it was of God's doing. That's what God wants to do with you and I. I'm trying to tell you, it's the same thing. It's no different. And I'm telling you, I said years ago, I still haven't seen this dream. I said, Lord, I asked the Lord every now and again. I said, Lord, what was this dream? What was this all about? Am I going to see it? I had a dream where I saw the body of Christ. It was the church. It wasn't pastors. It wasn't evangelists. It wasn't pastors, teachers or anything. It was the lay people. It was church members on the streets, laying hands on the sick, blind eyes being opened, lame people getting up, walking. I'm talking people being healed of every type of malady and disease. I saw it in a dream when I was first saved. And I thought, dear God, it was glorious. It was glory. Jesus was everywhere being glorified and magnified. And I've never forgotten that dream. And I say to myself, Lord, but I tell you what, we've got to know. It's not so that I can put up my tent and buy my 8x10 glossy and spread it out and say, come see Evangelist Fauntroy. That is not what it's about. But there was a day when it would have been about that. Hello? Oh, yeah, that was a day. I'm saying, no, Lord, no. And so, back to verse 3. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. What is so interesting to me is that God chose the weak-eyed one to bring his son through. Leah was the one who, come on, ladies, y'all do all kinds of things in that mirror, trying to get them eyes together. And yet the scripture says that Leah was the weak-eyed one. But God chose her. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, God has chosen. The things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? Verse 29 simply says this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I said no flesh. I said no flesh. Hello, look, not even born again, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified flesh. No flesh. You know why that woman got up over in Africa? No flesh is glorifying in it, but giving it to God. God did it. Who did this? God did it. God did it. Over in America, when someone dies, first thing we do, call now, tell them, come get the body. We done, you know, come get it. Well, did you pray? Oh, no. Well, if you don't pray, if you don't ask, when something happens in our life, what's the first thing we do? I know exactly what. I can handle this. Oh, you can. You can? Last time I checked, I'm not good at handling too much of anything. So when something happens, the first thing, Father, help me. Help me. I need wisdom. I need grace. Reminded me how God chooses the weak things of the world. You remember the story I shared with you in 2010 about that little girl who got lost in the Everglades? She's lost in a alligator-infested swamp. She's 11 years old. The Lord says, nasty. And this little girl is lost. She has Asperger's. So she's out there 5 days. Imagine that, mother. Your 11-year-old girl lost in a swamp, an alligator-infested swamp, for 5 days. Imagine what you're going through. And the authorities get all the people together and they amass this huge, and they're doing this sweep of the land. We know what to do. We've done this before. We're going to handle this. You are. Yeah. 4 days. They haven't found her. And so the father of five and a devout Christian recounted how he found the 11-year-old girl on the morning of her 5th day alone in the wilderness. He had been with a group of volunteer searchers on Monday, and he was planning to go back out on Tuesday. But the volunteers were planning to go out later in the day, and King said he got word from a higher authority to go out at sunrise. Oh, yeah, we know what we're doing. We know just how to do it. We're going out later during the day. God said, no, you need to be up at sunrise. Hello. Yeah. And so when the men said, we'll gather together tomorrow sometime and we'll come in from the other side, I prayed. My wife talked with me that night and reminded me, you know, James, his name is James King. You know, James, when we lose something and we pray in the spirit, we always find it. Yeah. And he said, yeah, he says, yeah, you're right. He says, so I went back in, and as soon as the sun came up, I went in and the Lord led me directly to her. What thousands of people could not do, God accomplished with one man. Hey, do you hear me? Ha! What we can't do with thousands, God said, just give me one willing person. I'll get it taken care of. I'll get it done. Yes. He said it took about 2 hours of hacking his way through dense swamp with a machete to get to Nadia, who has a mild form of autism called Asperger's. It was very rough. I was prepared. I had been in the swamps, King said. Took my GPS, 2 cell phones, a Bible. Imagine going in the swamp. Brother took his equipment. He took his Bible. Come on, saints. We're going into a swamp every day out there. Take your Bible. Pick it up. Read it. Come on. Use the equipment that God has given. So he says, he took his 2 cell phones, GPS, Bible, a machete, water, trail mix, and nutrition drink. And the Lord told me to follow where the sunrise was. So I went directly east. As much as you can go direct in the swamp. He just kept going east. I would call Nadia, and then I'd be praying and talking to the Lord, and the Lord would be directing me. And then one time I said, Nadia, and I heard, what? Nadia was only 40 yards away, but the vegetation was so dense, I couldn't see her. Until I was almost on top of her. There she was sitting on a log, looking up at me expectantly like, okay, you're finally here. King said with a smile. He said, Nadia said she recognized him, listen, from the church she attended with her family. She recognized him from the church she attended with her family. When he picked up his cell phone and called the authorities, the dispatcher didn't believe him. He says, I have Nadia. She almost dropped the phone. What? Who? What do you mean? How? I have her. The girl that was lost, I have her. And they're saying, well, they didn't believe him. He's like, no, but we got thousands of people. They have, how could you? I have her. Here. He gives her the phone. She says, I'm the girl who was lost. It's me. I'm Nadia. And what man and all of his power, strength, show of force, whatever you want to call it, couldn't do, God chose an insignificant person that no one knew. No one knew. He said, I'll use this person to go in and get that girl. And this man gave all the glory. He gave all the praise, all the credit. He said, it was the Lord. I didn't know where she was. He led me to her. God help us to understand and know that without him, we can do no thing. I can't accomplish anything. So that whatever I do accomplish, he gets all the glory and praise for. So Jacob nor any other flesh would be able to take credit for what God was about to do through Leah. Just want to focus in verse 31 on those two words, God opened. God opened. Listen, beloved, when God does anything, it's worthy of our attention. But, you know, when God opens, listen, when God opens something, but you better believe it was closed. Hello? I mean close to the point and to the extent that man couldn't open it. Let me ask you, who can open a womb? In our day of technology and IFV or whatever it is, you go to these women going through these cycles, spending all of this money, and man would like to think he can open a womb. Listen, when it says God opened her womb, he opens things that no one else can open. And he shuts things that no one can open. And so when it says he opened, all throughout the scriptures, when Hagar was in the wilderness, in a desert, her and her son about to die, the Bible says God opened her eyes. God opened her eyes. And she saw a well. You know, all of that, all of this applies to you and I because Jesus opened your eyes. And he opened mine so that we could see who he was. Jesus said to Peter when he declared who he was, he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In Numbers 23, the scripture says that God opened Balaam's eyes and Balaam saw visions of God. So he opened Hagar's eyes. He opened Balaam's eyes. Remember Elisha's servant when they woke up and were surrounded by an army. And he said, alas, master, what shall we do? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. We need our eyes open because there's things all around us we cannot see that we need to see. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw all around about them chariots and horses of fire. My God, come on. And you wonder why some people live with confidence, because they see something. They see something you maybe you're not seeing. Hello. God opened the ears of the Messiah in Psalm 40 to hear the call. God opened the rock and gave drink to the thirsty in the wilderness, in the desert. God opened Ezekiel's mouth to prophesy. God opened up the heavens at Jesus' baptism. When Jesus came up out of the water, it says, behold, the heavens were opened. I don't know anybody who can open heaven but one person. Amen. When he opens it, beloved, it's open. Only he can open it, and only he can shut it. Jesus opened the blind eyes in fulfillment of Isaiah 35 and 5. Jesus opened deaf ears. Jesus opened the grave. Jesus opened it all. He opened up heaven for you and I. Remember when Peter and John in the book of Acts were in prison? And they were waiting in the one time it happened for Peter, and then it happened for Paul and Silas in Acts 16, when the angel walked out of the prison with Peter. The Bible says that the doors simply opened of their own accord. The angel didn't wave his hand or anything. The angel was just walking and the doors just flying open. Prison doors, locked doors, flying open. My God, I tell you, that's my God we're talking about. Huh? Listen. In other words, listen, when Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, when they were singing hymns and everything at night, the Bible says when the earthquake came, the prison doors were unlocked. The prison doors were shaken open, but also their shackles were shaken loose, came off. They were actually, God opened up everything, which tells me that even if I'm in prison, God's with me when I'm in prison. Listen, if he wants me out, there ain't nobody who can keep me in. I'm telling you, say it again. If you, it doesn't matter where you are. God can get you out of where you are. The question is, why am I where I am? Paul said to the Philippians, he says, I am in prison for the word of God. He says, I'm here for a specific reason. He knew why he was where he was. So God, he opens up all of these things. Remember Stephen when he's preaching to the Sanhedrin and they're going to stone him with stones. And the Bible says Stephen looked up and he saw heaven open. Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the power. He saw heaven open. Have you seen heaven open? He can open heaven. God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. That's the one that hit me the most. He opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. As far as I know, there's no Jews sitting here today. That means he opened the door so that every one of us could be saved. Brought tears to my eyes. If he didn't open that door would not be opened. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to heed the things spoken of by Paul. The Lord opened the prison doors and opened all the doors and the chains from the prisoners and of Paul and Silas. The Lord opened. The last one was in Revelation chapter 3 with the Philadelphian church. The scripture says, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So God comes to Leah, throws open the door of her womb, and says, no one can shut it. And man, she went at Jacob. Glory, Jesus, I'm going to have some children. God opened up her womb. And you have to know that, Rachel was the knockout. But when a man gets so old, he needs a son. He's got to have a son to perpetuate my name. And definitely in Jacob's case with Leah, he has to have a son because Messiah has to come. And so Jacob goes into Leah. Well, we'll get to that in a second. What was so crucial about this, as I said earlier, when God opened Leah's womb, Jacob had to take notice. Rachel had to take notice. The whole community, they had to take notice. Hold on, y'all. God is doing something here, especially by the time she got to the fourth one. Especially by the time she got to the fourth one. And so he opens up her womb. Verse 32 says, and Leah, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. God moved for Leah because of what he saw her going through. God will move for you because of what he sees you going through. Be patient. Don't be in a hurry. Let God do it. Let God do it. Leah may not have looked like much, but to Jacob, but she had spiritual qualities about her. We see this with what she named Reuben. The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. She was a spiritual woman. She recognized that the fruit of her womb was because of the Lord, because of what God had done, not because of what she had done, but because of what God had done. And she recognized and gave glory and credit to God for the fruit of her womb. She says, surely the Lord has looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And it is true that there would be a greater quality of kinship between her, because this woman's given me the perpetuation of my name through this son, through this child. Verse 33, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She recognized that it was the Lord's doing, that not only Reuben, but all her children were brought forth. It was because of what God had done. Just in the bearing of a child. You know, sometimes we take it so much for granted. Babies are born. Oh, yeah, someone had a baby. That's God when someone has a baby. He's the giver of life. Amen? Hallelujah. She conceived again, verse 34, and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Leah, arguably, was probably the most instrumental in terms of Jacob's son. She gave birth to Reuben. We know not a lot happened with the firstborn. But Simeon, later the tribe would join in with Judah, would be absorbed up into Judah. And Judah was always the tribe when the Lord, when the people would go to warfare, the kings would ask, who shall go up first? And the Lord said, Judah. Judah always went first. Wonder why. But Judah went first. She also gave birth to Levi, who was the tribe of Aaron, the priestly tribe. So she gave birth to the Aaronic priesthood, the priestly tribe. And then lastly, and most importantly of all, she gave birth to Judah, through whom our Lord Jesus Christ came. So it wasn't through the wife whom Jacob chose. It was through the wife whom the Lord chose to bring forth his son. And so that says something. It says a lot to me as I look at my life and I consider the choices that I made. Not in terms of a wife. That's done and I got God's will. I know that. That's all done. Ain't no question there. But I'm talking about beyond that. Beyond that, the choices that I make, that I want to make, Jacob chose Rachel, but he could have chosen Leah. I said last week, that is not what the person looks like, but it's the destiny that they hold that becomes more important. Do you know where that significant other? I'm not talking about if you married. If you married, see, your destiny already tied up. You're done, okay? And that doesn't mean it's bad, though. See? That doesn't mean it's bad. That means it's already determined. Listen, where you going to end up, you're going to end up with the one you with. Hey, and you say, amen, that's right. And he going somewhere, and she coming with me. That's right. Yeah, we're going places, honey. Don't you worry about a thing, huh? I don't have this thing all figured out, but he does. And we're going there. Yeah, yeah. But now for you others. See, hello. But for you others, you better look where he going. You better look what trajectory he's on, because when you lock arms, I don't care what he looked like. I don't care what she sound like. I don't care how smooth she is or anything like that. But check out where his or her destiny is. Because Jacob could have chosen Leah, but he was in love with Rachel's form and appearance, which I said last week, beloved, we do lose. Okay? Some of us more than others, more speedily than others. You, as in my case, you understand. Amen. But the destiny God has set. God had determined that Leah would bring forth Judah, out of whom would come Jesus. Jacob could have chosen Leah, but he was temporal and he was, you know, but what's so beautiful about that is this. We're flesh too. Jacob made a choice based upon temporal circumstances. We do the same thing. And the same God who got his will done in a man who's making temporal choices, wrong choices, God got his will done. He'll still get his will done through you and I. There's hope for us, beloved. I ain't get an amen on that, but that's okay. Verse 34, she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, she called his name Levi, which means joined. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And that's what Jacob was after with Rachel. He wanted to be joined to Rachel. There's no problem with that. But here we're watching this woman go through a series, if you will. She's going through a progression. And in her first child, she said, well, the Lord looked on me, now therefore my husband will love me. The second child, she didn't say it, but I believe the same thing was there. The third child with Levi, she says, now because of this child, my husband will be attached to me. But I got news for you when she got to that fourth one. See, when she was having her children, she was thinking that her children was going to change her husband's heart toward her. Oh, a lot of ladies like to get in a relationship. If I just get pregnant, he got to marry me. All of this stuff and trying to tie him up. Well, let me say, just don't do that. That's not wisdom. Amen. Amen. And so Leah's thinking, You know, all of this is going to change. But see, God had something different for her. Because when she got to the fourth child, all of her other children's names meant something that she was trying to influence the heart of her husband, or at least thought she was something in it for her. She says, well, maybe he'll love me now. Maybe he'll be joined to me now. But when she got to Judah, verse 35, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Look, let me tell you what happened. Ah, yeah, she forgot all about her husband. She said, if he loved me, it don't matter if he loved me. I got the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord because he's been so good to me. Oh, I love to see, especially with a lot of our young ladies. Come on now. Forget that dude. Hello? Forget him. I pray the Lord come so powerfully on you that you will be caught up in praise and say, oh, Jesus, now I will praise the Lord because the Lord has been so good to me. He's been so good to me. Oh, God calls you forget, don't he, Dolores? Oh, yeah. Forget him. Forget him. She conceived this again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. She didn't even mention Jacob. She didn't even mention him. Hello? By the time she got to Judah, she's not only saying the one who shall be praised, because Judah, if you remember, when you get down to Genesis chapter 49, when Jacob called his sons in and began to prophesy over them, he said, Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. But Leah wasn't just saying, oh, Judah, you are the one whom your brothers are going to praise. She was saying, you are, because of your birth, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. The Lord gave Leah something that caused her attention to be fully set and fixed on him, where she would give him thanks and praise and glory at all times, you see. Not based upon Jacob, not based upon my husband. Oh, there's a soul sermon in there, ladies. Jesus. Well, you think what you want is in that man. But I got news. I got it, and I got to report it. Y'all remember that? But what Leah needed was not in Jacob. There's no indication that she ever won over Jacob's heart. Why do you say that? I can show. I can prove it. I can show you. In Genesis chapter 34, Jacob's going to meet Esau. He crosses over the brook, the Jabbok River, and he formulates his plan. He says, because he thinks Esau going to kill him. So this is what he does. He takes Leah's maid with her children, puts them out in front to meet Esau, okay? Then he takes Bilhah, Rachel's maid, and puts her behind Leah's maid. Then he puts Leah there, and Rachel is there with Joseph and Benjamin, closest to Jacob, last. He says, because if Esau attacks my family, this is the order that I want it to happen. I don't mind losing Leah's maid and her children. And see, so Leah never got, but then Leah never needed. See, she wasn't chosen by Jacob. She was chosen by God. If you never choose me. Some of you ladies need to say that. If you never choose me. Hey, yeah, that's right. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to love him because he loves me. I am his and he is mine. Is it a good word? It's a good word. That's right. God said it. I didn't say it. God said it. He said it. Come on. God said I am my beloved's and he is mine. Come on. He tells me. I'm driving down the road. He said, you're my beloved. I love you, son. I'll be like, oh, yes. I can't wait to be with you, Lord. I just, oh, my God. I am the bride of Christ. Amen. So all that the Lord does in the life of his children will cause them to offer up praise to him who alone does great things for them. May we learn from Leah. May we learn that slick, glossy, tall, dark, and handsome, curvy, wervy girl that we think, is the one. That's the one. But Lord, help us, Father, help us to know that you're the only one who satisfies. Come on. You're the only one who satisfies. Let's stand. Let's stand. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you for your word that transforms, that lives within us, oh God, that brings about your will and your ways in our hearts and in our lives. Father, let your will be done. Holy Spirit, move, hover over the waters of our heart. Speak as you will. Hold the heart of the king in your hand. Turn it whithersoever you would, my God. Turn our lives this way and that so that your purpose, your will, and your desire would be accomplished, that Jesus Christ would be glorified and lifted high, Lord, that all the world might see that there is one God, only one. Oh, Lord, and that you live forever and ever and ever. And so, Lord, we pray and we seal the fruit of this word, Lord, for your glory and for your purpose. Bless now your people as we go from this place. Keep us in the love of God, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.